The Waini writers acknowledge and pay our respects to the Kaurna people, the traditional custodians whose ancestral lands we gather on. We acknowledge the deep feelings of attachment and relationship of the Kaurna people to country and extend this acknowledgement to Torres Strait Islander and all First Nations people. We respect and value their past, present and ongoing connection to the land and cultural beliefs.
This podcast episode includes content that is not suitable for ages 16 and under, such as swearing and sexual content.
Welcome to another episode of The Waini Writers. My name is Harry and I'm here with my co-host.
Abby.
Look at us, just our first names, no surnames.
You know us well by now.
We know us, yeah.
It's been 5 months.
Five months.
Actually, it's probably been 6 months by the time this gets out.
Very true, because this is pushing ahead of the ahead of the curve. Look at us go, we're so organised. Yeah. Now, a couple of weeks ago, we actually did an episode where we talked about the fantasy genre as a whole. We did a whole episode on genre. Mm. And I thought that was really fun. It was really good.
I mean, it was fun for me. I got to talk about the fantasy that I used to like as a kid.
Yeah, so. Exactly. And all we did was talk about the stuff we liked.
Yeah.
I hope that most of the listeners at that time found books that they also recognized or liked when they were kids as well.
Absolutely. Or maybe you can go back and read one.
Yeah, exactly. Read all of them.
They're
fucking amazing books.
Everything we mentioned.
Yeah, but Abby and I are both in our second year of PhD now, which most of you would know if you've been listening with us. And so we thought today, why don't we talk about another genre, and a genre that we're specialising in and becoming experts in, romance.
Yeah, absolutely.
So yeah.
So the romance, like, academia field is really new. And when we came into it at our university, there were only like 2-3 other PhD students.
Yeah, just a handful.
Studying the romance. And so, but now there's quite a cohort of us. There's quite a few of us. And Harry and I included. And so we're really keen on the romance novel.
On the romance novel, yeah. And the romance genre as a whole has grown exponentially in the last 10, 15 years. It's always, as far as I've been concerned, for at least the last 20, 30 years, been the largest genre in the market.
It is, absolutely, yeah. 50% of all paperbacks sold are romance novels.
There you go, and it's almost a $1.7 billion industry.
That was a 2021 statistic as well, so I'm pretty sure in the last 2 years it's probably increased.
Yeah, and the largest growth in LGBTQI+ fiction has come within the romance market. I think since 2020 it's like a 740% increase or something insane like that.
That is crazy.
So it's crazy.
Crazy numbers.
The roots of fan fiction, as we've said before, a lot of that is based in romance.
I'd queer say romance. Almost all of it.
Well, almost all of
romance,
it. Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
AO3 is full of romance.
Absolutely.
Is it not?
Yeah.
Yeah. So like the romance genre is not something to be laughed at. It's not something that people should be sneering at. It's huge. It is.
I don't even know if it needs that caveat anymore. I think that most people don't really, unless you're like the oldest, whitest man or like a fucking nut. What's the word?
A bigot.
A bigot or something.
Yeah.
No one really frowns at romance anymore. And I know a lot of people pick up a romance now and go, oh, actually, it's not actually bad, right? Because it's so kind of, I feel like COVID helped mainstream it. People were picking
100%
up books a lot
that
more
they never would
COVID.
Have read before as well.
They were
picking up easily consumable but very, very good fiction during COVID because they want something that's going to challenge them, something that's going to make them interesting.
Book talk has helped and social media has helped mainstream romance. And so I don't know if it even needs the take us seriously, please, anymore.
I also wonder if it was really popular during COVID because the root of romance is human connection. And it was something that we were really missing during COVID.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, that would have been really sweet.
I also think that our dating culture at the moment is really, really bad.
Agreed.
Right?
So it's
and
lovely to read fictional relationships.
Yeah, exactly. This isn't a cry for help, but on my own romantic.
You're like, please do not take this as. Yeah.
This is not a cry for help. But I just think our dating culture, like my parents always say to me all the time, like when they were growing up and dating, you just saw someone on the street and you're like, them, I want to date them.
Yeah.
And well, so you would.
You met people at bars.
You met people at bars and all that. And now with it all online and online dating, the romance scene, and I think Australians in particular have a really bad dating culture and we don't.
Yeah. But we have a dating culture that other people think is really good.
Do we? I've seen really negatives from Americans coming to Australia and saying that our culture isn't good.
But I've seen lots of people that have, like, that say before coming to Australia, they thought that they were going to have the time of their lives in our dating culture. And then they realise, oh, no, this is not good.
Yeah, people don't really go out or do things or, like, I'm sure that people do, but it's not a huge dating culture anymore. Yeah. And so I think that reading romance kind of helps to feed that we're missing that, because romance and human connection and partnership, right, is like the really, really root of like humanity. Oh, deep into it, right? Like, it's our core need.
Core need.
Procreate.
Procreate.
Right? So I feel like with such a shit dating culture, and it's really hard to build those relationships now, there is just something in romance that is feeding that as well.
Yeah, I completely agree. And yes, I do want to state as a caveat that when we're talking about romance and when we're talking about universal emotions and things like that, they are not always universal.
Oh, absolutely.
So the universal need for love and the universal need for sex and like procreation and et cetera, it's not shared by every single person on this planet.
It's
every
not
single
a universal
human.
It's not,
it's
yeah,
not
we're
universal.
Speaking in one particular
In the context
area,
of,
And I think a lot of what we're going to talk about even is really quite monogamous as well.
Yeah,
and
very true.
That's also not encompassing every romantic experience either.
100%.
But that is
our
preference.
All sexualities.
You know?
But the romance novel, the romance genre,
Yeah. Before we really get into it, what is your favourite part of the romance genre?
My favourite part of the romance genre is... Or do we want to go down to like a specific moment?
Oh, almost you can if you want. I was thinking like overarching, but
overarching, I would say my favorite part of the romance genre is the love.
It's the
development of a loving relationship.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah.
If I wanted to go down to like a small little part, it tends to either be the happily ever after or the meet cute.
Oh,
because I
like
love
the
meet cute, and I know it sounds a bit corny, but like there's the cornier and the cheesier the meet cute, they just melt my heart. There's nothing like it,
and it's that thing, right, that you kind of aspire to have a meet cute in person, right? There is nothing more like nerve wracking and exciting than having a meet cute in person.
I think meet cutes have changed as well.
Yeah,
they have changed hugely in current society.
Yeah.
Because like my partner right now, I liked one of his Instagram posts when he was drunk, and then he sent me a message.
Yeah.
And when I wouldn't count any of that as the development of the relationship until we saw each other the first time in person.
Yeah.
And it was, you know, like, I still get tingles thinking about it because it is so cute. Like, it is so sweet when you're like, oh, this was the first moment that this happened.
Yeah. But even like my best friend met her guy exposing her on the internet.
What?
My best friend met her guy on a dating app.
Oh, yeah.
And then I had friends before that who met them all on dating apps. And so dating apps are like, there's no meet cute anymore. It's like, what did he text you first on the dating app?
See, that's cute. I don't think it's cute.
No,
sorry, it's not cute. It's not cute. But like, I think that you just postpone the meet cute until
met. But a meet cute is like accidental, isn't it?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. It doesn't always have to be accidental though. No. I think meet cutes can still be like your first date.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. Yeah.
It's just the first time that you lay eyes on the person.
Okay.
And the first time that you can kind of like, this sounds lame, but feel each other's energies and like understand.
His aura.
Yes, positive. He was a powerful person. I can sense him.
Airbender. Aura matches mine perfectly. Yeah. We shall be one.
Yeah, I can suck his youth.
Wow.
Yeah.
We're not at that part of the romance yet. Okay. This is date one.
That's integral.
But if you want to, it's fine.
Yeah.
Consensually.
Find no. You should be.
Where are we going?
I don't know where we're going with this. But I think, I think it's changed a lot. But the meet cutes to me are really, really sweet still. Like, when my current partner, when we first met in person, he came to pick me up out the front of my house. And he pulled up and his music was really, really loud. And I was super nervous. And I was like trying on all my different clothes, being like, surfer boy, do I go skater boy? Like, what do I wear?
What's my aesthetic
for the
day? Do
I dress straight, even though we're men and we're going out quite clearly on a date?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what I do. And we went and grabbed Domino's pizza and went and just like sat on the, like Cove up in Hallett Cove and just watch the waves in the dark. But the first time that I actually met him, I opened up the door and scared the fuck out of him.
Yeah.
Because he didn't know that I was coming.
Yeah.
And then I was like, I was like, hey. And he was like, hey. And I was just like, oh, this is awkward, right? Like,
right.
Because everything that's
for
happened
you,
on social
it still
media.
It felt like a meet cute, regardless of the social media interaction beforehand.
Because I think no matter how much you talk, you kind of just forget all that. And the moment that you're nervous and you're now in contact with another person.
Okay, I'll give
it,
you that.
And, it's romantic, but it's also. It's awkward.
Yeah.
It's awkward. It's not, it's planned, but it still kind of feels accidental. Mm. And you kind of like have to ask for, like, I ask permission to do a lot of things when I'm in there. Nothing sexual, as in, like, can I get in your car? And, like, he's there to pick me up for a date. So obviously,
he's
I can get in the car.
No, you can't.
Yeah.
You're running next to the car. I'm driving.
I'm tying you on the top of it. Yeah. And you're like,
no shoes in my car. You'll have to put them in the boot before you get in.
Yeah. But see, things like that, because you're nervous and anxious about it. Mm. So I love meet cutes. I think they're the core of a good, good romance. Because if I believe that when they first meet that it is how they're going to end up, then I'm just going to ride that wave all through romance.
That's so cute.
I love it. I love romance. I love it. It makes me giggly. Like, yeah, I'm like, I just love it so much.
You're just going to be kicking our feet this whole episode.
Literally. Love is just so beautiful. Yeah. So I love a genre that's dedicated to it. Hmm. What's yours?
Mine. That was just the silence as I looked at you like, are you going to ask
yeah,
me?
Yeah, like, you little bitch. Ask the fucking
ask
question,
me.
Harry.
I really like the tension between the couple when they can't, like, they don't know if they're going to become a couple or not.
Yeah.
Like, I really like banter and tension. And,
yeah,
like, I love really little things like he does up her helmet. I'm saying her because I'm talking her.
Yeah, talking
her.
Yeah.
But like does up her helmet for her before she gets on a bike or something. Like those little really tension things where they're not in a relationship yet, but they could be. I like the flirting stage.
That's the stuff that we're told is like real love though, right?
Yeah. You know? I love that sort of stuff. And oh my God, that's the sort of stuff that has me giggling and kicking my feet. And K-dramas is where I get it the most because that's what I consume the most romance-wise. But I'm really bad. The minute they're together, I get bored.
That's fair.
Yeah. Okay, minute the couple is like, we're together, I'm bored. I'm out. I don't want to see them happy as a couple, knowing we're a couple.
That's
I like the tension leading up to the couple.
Oh, fair. That's why I think that when they do them in these miniseries, I'm always like, if there's 8 episodes, they better get together in episode 8.
Yes.
Do not have them happily ever after in episode 7 and then give me a whole episode about the other.
Yeah. South Korean dramas are typically 16 episodes.
Yeah.
And for a very long time, I could get through 12 episodes of a drama and I'd get bored. And it was always the 12th episode.
Is it because they would have 4 episodes of them happy after everything's happened?
Well, they kind of, at the 12th episode, they're together. And then so you go through your black moment after that as well. But then you have like an episode or two of them just happily married.
Yeah,
whatever.
I can't do the episode or two of happily married.
Not at all. I would stop at episode 12 because I know that they're together now, even if there's a black moment or whatever after. Yeah. But episode 12, it seemed to be formula-wise when they were together. And I realize it's because I don't like when they're together. I miss the tension.
This is so funny because I've just been like, I love stories about love and I love romance. And then I'm like, but don't show me the happy couple.
I don't want them married with children.
Whoa.
Yeah.
I don't know what we're talking about here, but whereas, I want to see some tension.
Yeah, whereas my friend is so in love with love that she would watch like a full 4 episodes at the end, I think, where they get married, they have kids, they grow old together, and I could not do that.
I love the wrap-up in both a book and in a TV series of The Happily Ever After, so it's one of my favourite parts of the romance.
Yeah.
But it has to be that has to be it.
Yeah, no, I don't like the after. I really just love the tension as they're building to the relationship.
Yeah, that's really fair. And I agree. I like those little moments as well. The moments of like soft love.
Yeah, quiet love, I guess you could call it.
Yeah.
Like it's not really obvious that this is a moment of love, but for me the character It is,
yeah. You know? Have you seen that video of that guy that when his wife leans down, he puts his hand naturally on the corner of the table?
Yes, and same thing as like when they get into a car and he holds his hand over the thing so she doesn't hit her head on that sort of stuff.
That stuff
I like
is really nice.
That sort of
It is the small things I think that when you are in love, you take them for granted, and then all of a sudden you realize how .
Yeah.
You probably wouldn't be able to function very well without it because you've become so accustomed to
it. This is so small and so silly, but I watched a like a Chinese drama recently.
Yeah.
When, and there's a scene where he goes to hold the door open for her as she's walking out, and he has a watch on that wrist, and he accidentally knocks her cheek with his watch and causes a mark on her cheek, like scratches her cheek. And so the rest of the show, he swaps his watch and wears it on the other arm.
Oh my God.
And
my
that's
heart.
Like so, right? It's such a small moment. But I love that sort of stuff as well.
Do they make a point of showing him change the watch?
I think so. They make a point of like him noticing that it's harmed her, and then in the next scene, he's done it. His watch is on his other arm or
that's
something.
So funny.
It's so good. Like that sort of stuff. I really like that.
But also, I guess that is kind of the again, we're highlighting the bare minimum, aren't we?
Oh yeah, of course. Yeah. This is all the bare minimum. This is
that's the funny part about it all as well, because we're like, we love this stuff so much, but it's also like, is it because we don't get it?
Probably.
Which fucking sucks, right?
Yeah.
I don't want to sound like a dick, but my partner is fucking amazing. Like, he's genuinely incredible. So he does so many lovely things for me all the time.
He's a romantic
and
person.
He's a very romantic person. And a lot of people say when they're – which I sometimes take as an affront – is that lots of people go, but he's like – he's so sweet because he just looks after you. He always takes care of you. Like, he's like your security.
You're like, but I take care of him
too. And I'm like, excuse me. Yeah, one, I'm an independent person. So I can look after myself. But then the more I start to, I love that you're like, you're thinking I'm talking about giving it back. But no.
I don't need him to care for me.
I am a strong, independent human.
You are. Yeah, you are.
Thank you very much. But then when I do stop and think, I'm like, oh, there are a couple of things he does do.
Yeah.
Like,
he does kind of look
there are some
me.
Things that I no longer have to worry about anymore because I just know that he's going to get them done.
Yeah.
Or he'll just do them for me, you know?
But which that's is part so of the relationship, right? But you do that sort of thing for each other.
So I guess it's not
I'm
the
sure
bare
you
minimum.
Reciprocate.
I do reciprocate, exactly. Yeah. I like to think I am pretty fucking good as a partner as well, not to toot my own horn.
Yeah.
But I like to do like bigger things, right? Like, and then I realized.
Yes, you do. What did you do for him for his birthday or Christmas?
Oh, it was both of them because his birthday is a couple of days after Christmas. Yeah.
What so did you do, Harry?
I bought him like 25 presents to go over the course of Christmas. Hang on. Yes, I did. Because he was, I bought him 24 presents because he was turning 24.
Yeah.
So I bought him 24 presents and he got them not from the start of December, but from his birthday subtract 24 days and he got them all the way up. And he got a big present on Christmas and he got a big present on his birthday.
Yeah, which is crazy. Who goes out and buys 24 presents
for
someone?
It was really fucking hard.
Yeah, but you did it and you put that effort in and you loved the process, didn't you?
Yeah, I did love the process. So much organization.
Exactly, right?
It was titillating.
Sort of stuff you did. Yeah. Not only was it titillating for me, but he had a good
time
too.
But he had a good time as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, I like, so I tend to do like a lot, like bigger things like that. Mm. But sometimes if I stop and notice, I realize that there's no fucking way that I would be, you know, managing myself right now if it wasn't for him doing all these little behind the scenes things that he would never say anything about, which I think is so unbelievably romantic. Mm. Like, it is so sweet just to know that.
So are you like, is your love language like an acts of service kind of love
I am
language?
Huge on physical touch.
Oh,
I'm like
okay.
98% physical touch.
Wow.
Like if I go, like huge. I know, right? Like in
you
the quiz.
Went to touch me.
Yes, I did. But I do that again all the time. How many times in this when we were sitting over there would I slap you?
Yeah.
Because I'm a slapper. Yeah, but when I think about these things, and I've done the quiz so many times, I am always high 90s in physical touch, and then it is acts of service, and gifts of appreciation.
Right,
I'm
see,
a gift giver.
Gifts are the last thing on my list.
Oh,
I do not like.
You know as well though, I do love. I think my like I need physical touch. Mm. That's my like love. Receiving language, I guess, if we were broke them down.
Yes, yeah.
But my love giving language is 100% gifts giving.
Right.
How many times do I just like to buy things for people?
Yeah.
Like, I'm just like, do you want a coffee?
Yeah.
And you
you bought me a chai today. Well, yeah, I probably owe you so much money on chais and wines and drinks.
I just like doing it. You
know?
Like,
I know.
It's just what I, that's
but
my
I don't
language.
Like gifts because I feel like I owe someone,
yeah,
right?
That's what's so funny. But you've become so good at accepting them. Like,
it's
I'm sorry.
You were around.
At the start of our friendship, it was full like, oh, okay, Harry, well, I owe you a glass of wine now. You know, like, you were like very one
tick
for one, tip for tap.
Yeah.
But now you're really, that now you're just like, Harry, that was really sweet. And I'm like, oh, I don't fucking care. I don't bother.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it.
See, my love language is words of affirmation. And so, but I feel like it stems from a, like, academic kid thing.
Okay.
Like, telling me that I'm smart and I'm good and I get A grades. I want words of affirmation in my love life
want.
As well.
Yeah.
I want to receive words of affirmation. Hmm. I have no idea what mine is. I haven't done it the other way around, like what I give to people. What
would
that
you?
I am
what do you think
with.
It would be though?
It would not be gifts.
No, it's not
by
gifts.
By no means
no,
at all would
yeah.
it be gifts.
I love you with
makes
all my heart.
Me so nervous.
But you ain't a gift giver.
I am not. No.
Oh, you do give very good gifts. You have given me many gifts over the years, and they are terrific.
I give
that
you wine.
That box of wine was great.
Yeah, it's
and that
very
book.
Easy.
You gave me a book.
Did I?
Yeah, you've given me a book.
Don't
know
I
what book
you?
It is, but it's on a shelf. But I'm pretty sure I've had a book from you before.
I do not recall buying you a book.
No?
No.
Very bizarre. Maybe you haven't bought me a book.
No, yeah. I don't think
Maybe
I bought
I'm giving
you
a more
book.
Credit than you deserve.
Yeah, you are.
But you have bought nice wines and you have gone and actually like looked at what, like you're not, you don't just walk in and buy me a wine.
No.
When you bought the wines, you were like, no, I got this one here because of this.
Yeah, yeah.
And then
and
I bought
this one
here
you
because
need to keep, you know, yeah. for this long before it's good.
Exactly. Like yeah. you really, really think about what you give people as gifts.
I know.
That's really sweet.
I like to think that I do, but yeah. because I'm too worried about giving the wrong gift, I get anxious and therefore I don't like giving gifts at all. So
yeah.
I don't know what mine would be. It's not physical touch.
No.
I don't, yeah. My yeah. family has a big running joke of, don't touch me. Because so, apparently that's how I react when people touch me. So it's not that.
That's so funny.
Maybe I give words of affirmation. I don't know. I have no idea. What are the other ones? Acts of service, maybe.
You're quite good with acts of service,
actually.
Maybe
I do things for people.
Yeah, you do like doing
things
for
That's mainly because
people.
I don't trust them to do it well. So
that's
I just
very
do it
fair.
Myself.
But that's also, that can be acts of service.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
like I do, there is a hint underneath my gift giving that I like to give, I like to buy things for people, right?
Mm.
It's normal. It doesn't really matter as long as that person's going to be appreciative of it.
Yeah.
But then also it's kind of a sign of me actually liking you as a person.
I do.
Because if I don't like somebody, I don't fucking buy them anything.
Yeah, right.
We should get back to romance. I was like, we are talking about love.
We are. Yeah. We're talking about romance and love in general.
Yeah.
Is there something in a romance novel that like turns you off? Like what happened? Is there anything in a romance novel that's going to make you put it down?
Yeah, there's a couple things actually.
Yeah.
I think a very arrogant love interest. I don't care if
Absolutely.
That's how he starts off
yeah.
and then if he gets better, I'm not interested if that's how he starts off because there's nothing believable to me about coming across an arrogant individual that I would fall in love with or want anywhere near me.
Which is so funny. Is your character not arrogant?
Yeah, so arrogant.
Yeah.
But he's become arrogant in the relationship.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Okay,
so, I
so
guess
they're
that,
already together. It's
yeah.
not a...
I wouldn't say I'm an arrogant person, but I would definitely say that there is some arrogance.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Betwixt me.
Yeah.
that's not how that works.
No.
But in this shell there is half a bottle of arrogance.
In this bloodstream there is a little bit of arrogance dropped in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he meant to do it.
Yeah.
He meant to do a lot, but I ran away before he could.
Yeah, right.
But yeah, by he I mean God, so them. but yeah, I think that turns me off really quickly.
Mm.
It just doesn't work.
A dislikable love interest,
yeah,
right?
But in particular, I think that has to
the
be
arrogance.
Yeah,
okay.
There has to be a certain piece of shit quality.
Yeah, I
which
see
is
that.
Just yeah that. About yeah. that. And then the other is more a craft thing, but it's poor banter.
Oh, okay. When the banter is done really unwell,
bad banter in a romance novel.
Yeah,
if the author. Yeah, that old saying, I think it's Michael Haig that might say it, is that the best way to write dialogue is to make sure that you read it aloud.
Yes.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. yeah.
Read
and if
it
doesn't
aloud
make any
yourself,
sense, then it's not.
Then it doesn't, yeah.
Yeah.
And if you can't have the characters' distinguishing voices, distinguishable character voices, don't bother with the banter because that's awful. It really is. When it's flat and dry, you're like, there's no chemistry between these two.
When you can't believe the relationship.
Yeah.
Or I know that there are better people out there for these people.
Yes.
Like they're both
yes.
good people, but this isn't your person.
100%. That
yeah.
is so fucking annoying.
I'm trying to think
of
an example of one I read and I was like, I feel like you'd do better with someone else.
I actually felt like that with the Alison Cochrane, the Charm Offensive, until the end. But
yeah.
at the start I was like, there is nothing between these two characters. Like,
oh, really?
Why would you pick each other?
Oh,
you know? Yeah.
I see. I thought they were good because they had like... I don't know. Like
that's what annoys me about close proximity. Because that's not...
you don't like close proximity? I love close
proximity. Don't mind close proximity, yeah. but it doesn't have to be the sole... It can't be the sole reason
that
for the relationship.
Couple has come together. Yeah.
Because
okay.
I'm sorry, but attraction and a relationship are very different things. Mm. There's a lot of people I would like to sleep with, Abby. But there's not a lot of people I would be in a relationship with.
Oh, you know what? You're valid.
Yeah. And yeah. I think close proximity sometimes gets that tired. He's fucking gorgeous or she's fucking gorgeous or they're fucking gorgeous, right?
Mm.
Which means that they're going to sleep together or fuck around for a bit and flirt and then realize that they're meant to be in a relationship with each other.
Which is really funny you say that, because I'm watching a lot of Korean dating shows at the moment, right? Mm. And the way that those dating shows normally run is they get a group of people together. Sometimes they're ex-lovers, sometimes they're people who don't know each other at all. I'm watching one at the moment where they're alumni. So they all went to school together in primary school and now they're meeting 20 years later.
Mm.
But they put them all together in a house. And they live in a house together for a month or 2 months or however long it is. And so they have their work schedule still, but they live together, which is that close proximity, right?
Is this social experiment about to prove me wrong?
No. It's proving you right, because the couples get together because this is the pool of people you're allowed to date.
Yeah.
You are stuck together. It's close proximity. You're going to develop these feelings for each other. It's very rare that they actually last outside of the show.
Oh, yeah. Okay, there
right?
you go.
Because
yeah.
the initial but attraction
they're fucking
was
when
there.
They're in the house, right?
Well, no, they're not fucking.
Oh, that. No. Okay, sorry.
If it was a American, like, white Western show,
yeah.
they would probably be fucking in the house, yeah, which is why I don't think we could do it. I think they're really great. They are really, really good shows because the drama isn't terrible. Like, it's not like Maths, right? Married yeah. at First Sight, oh. where the drama is awful and they're really awful
as well
stuff.
That editing so bad.
Yeah, there's really so awful bad. Stuff happening. This is, like, genuine people meeting and falling in love and stuff. And so there are a couple that, like, survive, but there are some who get together, I think, because of the circumstance.
Couple
survive.
Of survive.
Yeah, they don't die.
They walk outside and they dodge the sentry gun.
Yeah. No, but they, there are a lot, I think, that get together because of the circumstance, but they don't last outside of that circumstance.
Yeah.
And I think same with your romance novels, right? You might exist within that circumstance, but I don't know, there's some couples I don't believe would exist outside of that circumstance.
That, yeah, and that's the thing. I think when it comes to close proximity, you find that a couple of these relationships, unless they're really, really well, like, created, designed, written, I just don't believe would have lasted afterwards. This sucks as well, because I really want to, I'm going to try and pull up an example of one of the books that I have read recently, which was a close proximity romance novel. And I was like, oh, I just don't think that these two would have lasted afterwards.
There's a creator that I really like on TikTok who has a, like, a book talk. And for the love of me, I cannot remember, for the life of me, I cannot remember their handle. But they have a whiteboard and they rank romance novels on whether they think the couple is, like, married eternally forever together, all the way down to, like, no, we hate each other's guts, like, after the novel, whether they think that they would last.
That is a great idea.
It's a really good concept, so I'll try and find that. But that's kind of talking to what we're talking about right now,
yeah.
right? Is you dislike when you can't see the couple together at the end.
Exactly.
It doesn't make sense.
It just takes me out of it, I think.
That's why I think novels, like, for me, Sally Rooney's Normal People, lots of people there is not controversy, but there is discussion around whether that could be considered romance or not, right?
Hmm.
Which it's technically not on a academic, very basic definition scale.
Yeah, on a structural scale.
Because romance has to have the happy ending, and this is a love story because it doesn't have a happy ending. Which, if you're really interested in that sort of conversation, I think we've recommended it before, but our colleagues have Love on Campus, the podcast,
yeah.
and they talk about the conventions of romance and apply it to novels. But that couple, you cannot believe they will not get together.
Like, yeah, yeah.
You know at the
that.
End of that, they're
yeah.
they you cannot imagine that couple together, right? Which is why I don't think it's a romance.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah, actually, that's very fair
for me. Like, I can't see them being together. If it had been different when they were young, sure.
Yeah.
But in the current, the way that the
but
events
because of how that worked,
yeah,
out,
not yeah. together. Yeah, and I don't think they should be together.
No, because they're quite awful.
Connell deserves better.
Connell does deserve better. And Marianne is quite awful. She's very
she's
entertaining, sick. Though.
She's very entertaining.
She's
character.
So entertaining.
Yeah, I actually think she's. I don't think she's an awful character. I just think she's. Yeah.
No, she's not an awful character.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. What are some of your favorite romances then?
Some of my favorite romances.
That's yeah, your favorite romance novels.
That's always tricky. I think that because there's so many books.
Yeah.
Like, I was so many of them, and I'm like, there oh are. God, what are we gonna do about this? I said it many, many times. The Charm Offensive by Alison Cochrane.
Yeah.
Red, White and Royal Blue.
Mm.
It's a brilliant, brilliant, brilliant book.
Mm.
I love, which is very YA and it's very young, but Boy Meets Boy by David Levithan.
Yeah.
Will
Song
Grayson.
Of Achilles.
Song of Achilles
out.
As well.
Well, that's a love story.
But yeah, that is a love story. Yeah, because that's a tragic fucking ending.
Yeah, it's tragic love story.
With a capital fucking T.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That is not a romance.
That is not for the faint of heart. But yeah, that's a beautiful, beautiful, that's a love story. Yeah, but a beautiful, I loved Normal People. I think Normal People was actually a brilliant book. It is so realistic. Mm. I think that. Oh, well, we all know I loved Happy Place.
That was going to be on my list. I really like Happy Place by Emily Henry. It's a second chance romance, and I think it's done well.
I like Second Chance as well. Like,
lots of people don't. I think it's quite divisive, Second Chance romance. Lots of people do not like Second Chance romance.
I think that's another trope I would stand by. Yeah. I think I like the idea that you get this element of desire, which is the driving force behind a lot of the romance books in the market.
Yeah.
But you get elements of the desire having existed and then dissipated. And that's really fascinating, right?
Mm.
Because my romance at the moment is a second chance with my partner. And it's,
like you'd previously.
Like we'd previously seen each other and it just didn't work out.
Yeah.
So I just think it's really interesting to see what it's like when you have a failed relationship that is renewed, because it is very complicated and it can be really, really hard to traverse. And I think a lot of second chance romances do that really well. And you're right, Emily Henry does it brilliantly in Happy Place, because it's so easy to see why she does. His name is Wes, isn't it? Wesley?
Is it Wes? Yeah, maybe.
Yeah? I think it's Wesley.
It starts with a W.
Starts
for
with
sure.
A W.
Yeah.
Starts with a W.
Yeah.
I think it's Wes. It's so clear why they fell out of love with each other. And it's kind of sad, which is not really what you expect from typically the beginning of a romance novel.
Yeah.
And I find that really nice.
And it's the kind of couple where they have broken up and you know that they've broken up, but you can see, you look at them and you're like, you guys should be together.
Yeah.
I don't know why you broke up. You should be together. You're so perfect.
Yeah, exactly. Because now you're like, oh.
It's not I do not know why you're getting back together. It's a...
Oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah. But yeah, instead, but you also know, like, they if it's done really, really well, which it is in Happy Place, you understand why the relationship didn't work. And then in a very weird way, because Emily Henry is fucking brilliant, you also understand exactly why they now should be together.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because at the start of the book, you're like, God, these two look miserable, but also not miserable because their vibes are just immaculate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry, I've been perusing my list to try and find what my favourite romance novels are. Obviously, I really like Anne with an E. I don't know if you'd consider Anne with an E a romance specifically.
Not specifically, but I'd say it's definitely
but
got
I
a
love
romance
the
in
romance
it. A
in
very
it.
Good romance.
I love Anne and Gilbert, and I think that their romance is beautiful. One of my absolute favourites is 7 Days in June by Tia Williams.
Beautiful book.
Beautiful. That is a really good adult romance, contemporary. And I think it addresses a lot of other issues while still delivering the romance. Like, I think there is so much depth to it as a romance novel, and there is so much else to get out of it than just the relationship itself.
Very true. So a lot of good social commentary.
Exactly. I really enjoyed that book. I liked This Time It's Real by Anne Leong. That's really YA.
Yeah.
That is set in, it's like a student's academic kind of setting.
Okay.
And I really liked that was good.
Oh, what's the one that I know with the magic in the books?
Get a little bit more specific there for me.
Divine Rituals? Divine something?
Oh, Divine Rivals?
Divine Rivals.
Yeah.
Have you read that book?
Absolutely, I have.
Oh, I thought you were about to say no and I was going to go, haha, I've one up you. I've read half of it. I'm reading it at the moment.
Oh, my God. Okay. I'm pretty sure.
Don't spoil anything. It's getting good. Oh, no, you can spoil. I don't mind. I'm going to read it anyway.
I fucking love Divine Rivals. It is.
He's so hot.
I won't get too much into it. We could probably do a book club on it. Maybe. Or maybe not. We'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Why not?
It is so good. Oh my gosh, if you need to borrow the second book, please let me know.
Oh, but there's a second book?
Yeah, it's a duology.
I did
You'll
not
see when you get
know
to the
that.
End.
Oh, okay.
You will.
I'm sorry, Roman has a heavy spot in my heart at the moment. Oh my God.
I'm so glad you love it. It is a, for those listening, I'm so sorry because now we're just like, I only didn't know you were listening, you were reading it. Yes. It is my top read thus far of, I think it was my top, one of my top reads of last year. Divine Rivals is so good. It's a romanticy, but it's done in such a, it's such a good way. And I think the writing in that is amazing. I
completely agree. And the world building is really subtle, but really, good. Really effective.
But good. Exactly. I really, really enjoyed that. And so that was definitely on my
It's also a nice, at the moment, because we're talking about, I meant halfway, I mean a solid 40% if I had to put a percentage on it, right? Mm-hmm. But we're getting into the spot right now where the romance tends to, unless the book is written really well, it tends to have a slight bit of a drag, right?
Yeah.
I'm getting world building to keep that drag bit while interesting.
While the drag is, yeah, and that it's happening.
Was really fucking well done.
I really like when there is substance to the romance outside of the characters themselves. And agreed. I think that's going to carry me through the romance, particularly when I get to that point, right, where the characters are together and I'm like, what am I rooting for now?
Yeah.
And it's the rest of the plot that's carried it.
That's the interesting part. And I think that's what I'm going to struggle with in my novel, is because the characters are together. Mm. So there's no reason for you, to not think that things are good.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
To not think that things are good. Sounded so simple. You know what I mean?
I know what you're saying. Yeah.
So it's hard because you have to keep the tension there. You have to give it something to drive the plot forward. Otherwise, you don't just want to read about two people that are happy and living together. That's fucking awful. That's a shocking book. Yeah, it's something Virginia Woolf would put out.
Yeah.
Mm. Would have.
She's
no longer with us.
No, unfortunately, she's no longer publishing.
No, unfortunately not. No.
Sadly.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think writers naturally put romance into everything, and I think it makes it better because it creates that emotional connection, right?
Agreed. Yeah. It's like, it's so vulnerable. Mm. And it just makes any plot line have,
I think, yeah,
more stakes.
I think often people are looking for it even when it's not there as well. We spoke previously about editors and how they're great for marketing.
Yeah.
I will watch a series because I've seen an edit of two characters in love, and it's the worst when you watch the series and those characters have only ever interacted once.
Have you seen the stuff with the marketing thing at the moment for Dune where people are going Tom Holland or Timothée Chalamet?
Oh.
Because of Zendaya?
Yes.
Like, I'm like, what the fuck? They're just starting some war with Zendaya and her boyfriend that she's been with for quite some time, the gorgeous Tom Holland, who I would say is fucking stunning to look at.
Yeah, in the movie she's with Timothy.
In the movie she's with
Timothy,
Timothée Chalamet.
Yeah, Paul.
Yeah, Paul Atreides.
I cannot get over the Paul. Fact that it is a sci-fi, we should have spoken about this in our sci-fi thing, our rope fantasy thing. It's a sci-fi, really in-depth sci-fi thing. His name is Paul and his mother is Jessica.
Yeah, I know, right?
What is that?
And the other one have such different names.
They've got
like
the most
Duncan Idaho, and you're like, that's a little bit more sci-fi. But
Duncan
Paul,
Idaho, that's some guy in America.
Well, actually, literally, Idaho.
he rides a horse and wears a cowboy hat, and his name's Duncan Idaho.
In Mississippi.
Yeah, exactly. Right? What are those fantasy names?
Oh my God. What are the other ones called? His name is Duke Leto Atreides. That's a little bit more sci-fi.
That's a little bit more sci-fi. Paul
and Jessica.
Paul and Jessica.
Hey, Jess.
Yeah. What's Zendaya's character name?
I can never pronounce her name. I think it's Cheney.
That should be how Cheney? It is. If you cannot Cheney? Pronounce it, it's a sci-fi name.
Yeah. But then the other's like Baron Harkonnen. You know, like that's sci-fi. Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah.
We're talking
definitely.
But
sorry, that's romance. Vector romance. Sorry.
I love that you were like, Paul.
Yeah.
I've got something to say about that.
Yeah. I'll just take that bit and I'll put it into that other one. And
you'll go, yeah. Self-insert, literally. I got a problem with Paul.
Yeah, I do. I have a problem with Paul. Why is he named Paul?
What's the worst name you've seen in a romance book?
Oh. God, I'm not going to come up with that on the spot. Worst name I've seen in a romance.
I remember mine.
Oh, okay. We'll go for it.
What's his name in the fucking book lovers? Shepherd?
Oh,
remember that guy?
I feel like Shepherd's name suits him, though. Yeah. He's like some played, like, he's kind of, he's compared to a golden retriever all the time, right?
Yeah. Oh.
Shepherd is like a dog name.
It was, but I was just like, his name is Shepherd.
Yeah, but you're not supposed to like him. He's not the romance interest, right?
No, very true, but I was just like,
you're supposed to like Charlie.
Yeah, Charlie was a bit of a lame name as well.
Charlie? Yeah.
Nora? Beautiful.
Nora is a good name.
Beautiful name.
Nora and Charlie.
Nora and Charlie actually works quite well together. Yeah.
And Charlie gives like European boss publisher to me.
That is so specific from one name. Yeah, yeah. It gives me white middle-aged English gentleman.
Yeah.
But yeah. What's her name again in Happy Place?
Don't
I always forget
me.
Her name.
I forget all names.
Yeah, see, this is the thing.
Yeah, I read we a book and I
the vibe.
Yeah, I loved the vibe. I cannot remember the name of the characters even in Divine Rivals other than Roman. Iris and Roman. Yeah.
Roman, cracking name for a hot man, especially when he's described.
Exactly, yeah. Iris, really lovely name.
Roman just reminded me of that guy from The Road to El Dorado. No, not that. The Atlanta. Stop. Stop. Shit. I watched your face instantly go, what the fuck? No.
The Road to El Dorado.
No, not that. Take that back. You know the Atlantis animated movie from back in the day?
Oh.
With the glasses.
Yes, what is that?
I can't remember what his name
is.
Atlantis Under the Sea, Atlantis goes, you know, like Atlantis slip, slop and slap.
Atlantis Under the Sea.
Yeah, I mean, that's the story. But you know the one I'm talking about with the round glasses?
Exactly.
That is exactly
what you're talking about.
Exactly how I pictured Roman.
Oh my God, what is that series?
I was like, he's so good. I just think it was a movie.
No, it's like a Disney style cartoon.
Yeah, it was. Like when they used to do that really flat animation.
Yeah.
Where everyone was like 2D.
When it was good.
Yeah, when it was good, yeah. That is exactly how I pictured Roman when they described him.
It's literally called Atlantis, the Lost Empire.
I was so close. And you laughed.
The Road to El Dorado guy.
I was thinking about it. That's a great movie. Road to El Dorado, hysterical. They should mention a little bit more about colonization, though, in the fucking Road to El Dorado. Because that's
Roman
really
in your head.
Yeah, that's why I was like, no. No, it's the wrong guy.
Wrong guy.
He looks like
a
blonde Jesus in the Road to El Dorado. And that is not what Roman looks like.
No, Roman does have the guy from, and he, the guy from Atlantis is hot.
He is hot. He is hot. I think his name is Miles.
Yeah. Oh, that's a, see, another, yeah, that's a good character
that's
name.
That's a good character name. Mm. That is a good one. I think it's Wesley or Webb in Happy Place.
Yeah.
I'm just thinking now. It's definitely W, though. You are
it's
right.
W.
Yeah.
It's W.
A W.
It's a three-letter thing, and it starts with W, and he's got a longer version of it.
He's got a longer version of the name. Yeah. Mm. Yeah, like most people, actually. So, yeah.
Well, I don't have a long version of Abby. Lots of people ask me if it's Abigail.
Yeah, I call you Abigail.
I actually hate the word. You're the only person ever in my life who I've been okay with calling me Abigail.
I just say it when I'm mad at you.
I know, and it's funny.
Or if I'm telling you off.
It's not funny when anyone else, when you're telling me off.
Like Abigail. I've never done that. Abigail.
Harrison.
I don't know. I feel like we've really gone off tangent here.
We have. But I'm so sorry.
It's just terrific.
Oh, what tropes do you like?
What tropes do I like?
Yeah, what's your favourite romance tropes?
Oh, that's tricky.
We don't have time for this, but I'm making time for this.
Yeah, well, give me yours first.
I didn't want to. Oh, academic rivals.
Oh, academic rivals.
That's why Divine Rivals works for me so much. I really like academic
Well, so you
stuff.
Like enemies to lovers.
I do like enemies to lovers, yeah. But if it's enemies to lovers, it needs to be enemies to lovers.
Enemies. Agreed.
Yeah.
Agreed.
They need to want to murder the fuck out of each other.
Completely.
And take like two books.
Light banter is not enemies to lovers.
No, not at all.
Not today anyway. I think a millennial thinks it is and it fucking ain't.
No.
Because all of us just banter or shit talk each other these days.
I know. And I could be enemies to lovers
with
that kind of banter.
With that kind of banter, exactly. Like, it's a bit harsh and sometimes I cry in the car, but it doesn't mean that we're enemies.
Sometimes you make me sob, but we're good.
But we're good.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we're not going to fall in love. But, I think I love enemies to lovers as well.
Yeah.
I love Second Chance. I love Second Chance. It's so nice.
Yeah, well, it's very relevant for you, right?
Yeah. And then I love, I'm now thinking through all these tropes in my head going, no, I don't like that. No, I don't like that one.
I have conflicting feelings about Fated Mates.
Yeah, I don't know about Fated Mates either.
I really used to like it, but I feel like now it's overdone. Every romantasy I read, they have Fated Mates.
Yeah,
and
very
so
fair.
I know who's going to get together.
Actually, yeah, like you said,
and
Bride,
no,
she just
like,
knew. She wasn't stinky, she was she mates.
Yeah, I feel like there's no, like, you can't do a love triangle when there's Fated Mates because you were fated to be together.
So obviously the other person's lost.
I would love, I'm sure that maybe, is there a romance out there where they're fated and like, they're like, no.
I'd like to read that if anybody knows
it. I think they do it a little bit in ACOTAR, but.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Her sister is fated to be with Lucien or whatever his name is and says no.
I just think Fated Mates takes away the enjoyment of the romance.
Mm.
Because it kind of feels like, well, they're going to get together.
Yeah, it doesn't do it for me specifically.
No. Yeah, not for me, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that one's tricky. Like I said, I don't like close proximity.
You don't?
Forced proximity.
I love forced proximity.
How
do you feel about the one bed trope?
Oh, don't hate that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know about it for a relationship, though, because it's kind of the same idea as forced proximity.
Yeah.
Where I'm
yeah,
just like,
yeah,
I don't know. I don't know if this would start this.
No, but it's good when the characters, you can tell that they have tension and they're just not crossing that line and now they're forced to share a bed.
Yeah, that's
true. They're forced to cross the line.
With enough setup, which they tend to have, actually.
They tend to have for it. Yeah, for the one bed.
Yeah, it's not like it's in the first chapter.
Yeah.
Imagine that. God, awful. Yeah.
I don't like brother's best friend.
No, don't like that either.
That doesn't do it for me. Nope.
No, yeah. God, no.
No.
Do we want to? What about character tropes?
Oh.
I do love cinnamon roll.
I love a good cinnamon roll. I love a cinnamon roll man. I'm not a huge fan of alpha men.
Fluffy, warm gentlemen.
Yes, absolutely. Fluffy, it's warm gentlemen.
So
you are going to do those really, really tiny things.
Yeah.
In such a fluffy, warm way.
Well, actually, a lot of what we were saying actually just before about what we liked about love, like small little things, they do tend to be very cinnamon rolly things.
They do tend to be cinnamon rolly things. I mean, obviously, you can argue that non-cinnamon roll characters do that, but I feel like they are part of the parcel with cinnamon roll.
Yeah, exactly. It comes with the territory.
Yeah, absolutely.
Being a cinnamon roll person. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't like alpha men. I don't like anything about them apart from the idea that some of them may be attractive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I heard something the other day that people are saying they don't like the way that books are marketed by tropes now because they feel like tropes are spoilers.
That's fair.
Like
that's
if I
really
know
fair.
That if it is marketed to me as an enemies to lovers, then I know they're getting together before I read the book.
So true, so true. Because I'd rather just, and I guess like, yes, it would be obvious from the first chapter if you had read enough of the romances, right? But if you're shopping by that, then I kind of get that. But then that's also because the market is so... Like, it's so
that's
about
how
categorization.
That's how they sell books right
that's
now.
How people
is by categorizing
buy books
it
as
in
well.
That regard. Yeah, absolutely.
They want the comfort of a.
And like I was saying before, trope. I can't remember if I said it this episode or in our fantasy episode, that people don't care about rinse, repeat, replots. They want that. So if they read one Enemies to Lovers and they love the Enemies to Lovers, then they want to pick up the next Enemies to Lovers
and
they want the next one and so on.
And go and go and go.
Yeah. That's why tropes is.
I mean, there was a stat that I think Nora Roberts released on her website after doing a survey about romance readers. And I don't know if this is specific to male or male gay romance.
Right.
Or if this is general.
Okay, because of the research you've been doing.
Yeah, because they get a bit skewed.
Yeah.
But I'm pretty sure that on one of them where they asked how many romance readers were consuming a set amount of books each week.
Yeah.
Some of them were consuming over 7 books a week.
You know what? I was expecting a larger number. 7 books a week is pretty small for some of them.
A day
Particularly the people who are reading like your, like back when you, Mills and Boons and your commercial publishing in that regard, like your paperback publishing. What do they call that? Like your Mills and Boons style publishing?
Oh,
they have a name for it.
Yeah, they do have a name for it.
Yeah.
It's like, I know what you mean.
Yeah. Whatever that is, when that was, because that's not as popular now, your Mills and Boons, right? But when that was popular and that was where romance readers were mostly, they were reading like way more than one of those a day.
That's insane.
Their numbers were insane.
Hardback. Oh, no, not hardback romances.
No.
No, they're like.
I think it is just paperback.
Is it just paperback?
Yeah. But
it is just
their numbers
crazy,
were more than
though.
7. 7 books a day is crazy, though. I'm reading a book at the moment that's 800 pages long. And so it's taking me days
what
to get
through
it.
What book is that?
The first Crescent City novel.
Oh,
I'll
that's
tell you
right.
now,
yeah,
it did not need to be 800 pages long.
Oh, that does not surprise me.
It is not necessary.
A lot of Sarah J. Maas's books do not need to be that fucking long.
I'm only reading Sarah J. Maas because I am writing and studying romanticism. And so it's part of my academic journey.
Have to talk
and
about
I
the
do
market.
Not,
yeah.
And I do not like Sarah J. Maas's work. Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
But it's not my favorite.
It's not my favorite.
Yeah. I can understand why it's popular, but it's not my favorite.
Well,
so, 800 pages worth of it.
Sarah J. Maas is very good at what they do.
Absolutely.
Very, very, very good.
Very good at what they do.
It's quite inspiring.
Mm.
Is it work for me or you? Not hitting us.
All right, we can probably.
Jesus Christ, honestly. Yeah.
We can probably end it here. We'd love to hear your opinions on romance. I might put up like a trope.
Like a little poll.
What's your favorite trope? And. That sort of stuff, because we love to hear about it.
And what your favourite romance books are. If you've got a favourite romance book that you absolutely love and we haven't mentioned it, then send it straight through.
Please send it through. I'll pop it up on the gram. But yeah, thank you very much for listening to us.
That was
again
a rambling mess, that episode. And that was I actually kind of love it.
Yeah, there was no structure to
there
that.
There was no structure to that.
If you want structure, this wasn't it. We will do more structured ones in the next.
Yeah. Weeks, we're just having a couple fun
Let's
episodes.
Let's be completely honest with you listeners. It is 3:30 on a Wednesday afternoon. And I did 2 hours worth of teaching and talking from 10 till 12. And then Harry and I sat in here and chatted and then did one episode.
And then chatted.
And then chatted and caught up. And so we've been chatting for fucking ever. And it's the point in the afternoon where nothing makes sense anymore.
And that is exactly
the reality
why this
of
show,
this podcast.
Yeah, why this show is what it is.
Yeah, why it's chat and shit.
Why it's chat and shit.
Absolutely.
Yeah, exactly. We're hoping to one day escape this studio and start having our own little place. And let's hope that happens sometime soon, because I think some sunlight or some fresh air would actually invigorate us sometimes.
If you have never watched any of our reels or any of our visual aids that go with some of this content, we are in this room that is dark and not dingy at all, but
it's dark
and
isolating.
Isolating and entrapping, and it's great for sound quality but terrible for vibes.
Vibes, yeah. Terrible for the vibe.
There is no vibe in here. We are the vibe.
Vibe drops quick.
Yeah. So we are hoping to branch out, but until then, we will chat to you next week.
Exactly. Thank you so much for listening again. And next week, I think we're going to announce our book club.
Yeah, so we can announce it now.
Do we want to announce it now?
Absolutely. Yeah. Let's throw our book club out there.
Up.
Harry has chosen our book club for this time. What have we chosen?
I've got to get it up. Yeah, it's it's by Becky Abatali and Adam Silvera. It's a co-authored book called What If It's Us, a cute gay romance with some diverse and realistic characters bursting with personality. Ben is brokenhearted and stuck in summer school, and Arthur is interning at his mother's office and in love with everything New York City has to offer.
It's by one of the authors wrote They Both Die at the End. Same author, Adam Silvera.
Oh, that's Adam Silvera?
Yeah, he wrote They Both Die at the End and then The First to Die at the End.
The really interesting thing about this book is that when I first read it, it had one very specific cover, which was like kind of a bit confusing. Mm. And now, since I bought the new version of the book, right, because I didn't buy it when I first read it, it's had four different covers.
Four different covers, just when different... like European cover, American cover, or does it keep re-releasing?
I think it keeps getting re-released like remastered almost. Why? I'm not sure.
Is it not meeting the market?
It's really interesting because...
We'll chat about it when we get to it.
Yeah, we'll chat about it and get some more information on it. Yeah. But I remembered the first one that I bought had an ebook cover on it almost. Mm. Very plain, very simple, very dull. And then the latest cover is very different. And then there's two covers in between. I think it's two covers in between. But I remember one of the other covers going, oh, that's not the book I just bought.
But
it's
the same book.
It is the same book.
Oh, okay.
Very, very interesting.
We're going to chat about that coming up.
So, yeah, grab yourself a copy. You can find it on Kindle. It's on Kindle Unlimited. You can buy it through Amazon or through either of the authors' webpages themselves.
Which I recommend.
And bookstores. It is available in bookstores as well. I have seen it on the shelves at Dimmicks and I have seen it on the shelves at QBD Books here in Adelaide.
Amazing.
So if you're around the country, you can buy it there in person, which supports the author more. But grab yourself a copy of the book and read along with us, because probably in about, a month?
Yeah.
3 weeks?
3 weeks or so. Yeah. Which... might be sooner for when this episode won't come out for another 4 weeks.
Yeah, very true, actually. Yeah, so actually it could be next week.
It could be next week. Surprise, I will have already put it up somewhere by now. So
amazing.
Yeah,
so stay tuned for our second book club. And thank you so much for listening today when we talk shit about romance.
Thank you. Bye.